I don't want this to stop. Do you know, I go to a church, and I'm not naming it for the reasons I'm not going to speak, and we have over 100 people. We say that we believe in the Holy Spirit. We say we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And then we go back to our spreadsheets, and everything is timed to the second. And I think that is so sad. Do you know, I've just felt so free in this place this morning. I've been able to walk in, and you're not walking into a strange church. You're walking in to meet brothers and sisters. In fact, do you know, the Lord put it on my heart this morning. I sat in the conservatory, just sat very quietly, and had a thought of eternity. And he said, it's going to take you all of eternity to meet your brothers and sisters. I thought, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to go off course a bit today. I apologize. I'm definitely going to talk about compassion. Don't get me wrong. But because of some of your testimonies this morning, I just feel a sense of encouraging you even more to think about answered prayer. I used to belong to a church that got down to three old ladies. Now, I don't demise three old ladies. They are, don't ever diminish these people. They're saints of God. And you know, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed that that church would not close. Won't tell you the whole history, but the whole history is this, that today that church has grown. They've had to move out of the church building into a school because there's not enough room for the congregation. They have planted another church who've had to move out of their village hall into a purpose-built industrial building now turned into a church. And because of their prayers of three or four ladies, there's now on a Sunday morning about 500 people worshiping the Lord. Just from prayer, and prayer is so important. Thank you for your testimony this morning. I'm going to share you personally with my testimony now. Did you say £594? We're given according to his riches in glory. Expect a miracle. That came from the Lord as you gave your testimony. Expect a miracle. Just that's it. With myself, I want to share a miracle which is really important to me, and it ties in everything we've heard this morning about answered prayer. I was well away from God for 27 years. I was a young Christian man in a Christian marriage. Everything blew up in front of my face, and I went away from God because I was rejected. For 27 years, I would not walk in a church. A lady walked up to me one day when she was going to rent one of my boss's houses, and I was just introducing myself to who I was. She turned around, having never met me before. She pointed straight at me and she said, "You have a ministry for God to do." Wow. I'd heard that when I was 15 years old. And now here's this strange woman telling me that again. And that is how my life progressed. 2003, I was diagnosed with motor neuron disease. I was told by a very top professor in the University of Birmingham Hospital that I had a maximum 10 years of life, and part of that life would not be what we wanted. That was in January 2003. In December 2002, my father-in-law died. He used to live in Carterton over here. And so my wife was in a mess. I didn't know God. I did know God, but I'd walked away from God. And my wife was talking to the vicar's husband of the local URC church, a church we'd never been near. They didn't know me, really. They might have known of me because in the village I had done a couple of things that people would have known of me rather than know me. And this church decided to put a prayer circle up for me. Although they didn't know me, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. Next time I went to the hospital, they said, "There's something going on in your body we don't understand." I said, "Pray what? Tell me." They said, your results from motor neuron disease and your body are two different things. You shouldn't be walking like you're walking today. You shouldn't be talking like you're talking today. And I very glibly remember saying, that's why God gave me legs. It's very glib, but that's just how it was at the time. That didn't bring me back to God. I still thought that this was the punishment he's given me for any wrongdoing. And this rejection just grew from that. And then in 2009, I met this mad woman who told me I had something to do for God. And I had to go home and I had to say to my wife, who had never seen me as a Christian, I said, this is going to come hard, but I've got to go back to church. I've got to go back to God. He has just spoken to me. If I deny it, I'm dead. I said, I cannot deny what just happened. I said, God has spoken to me and I've got to do it. My wife, who I met when took on two of her children, she pointed at me. You women point a lot. She pointed at me and said, this could come between us. And that was my first battle. We're still happily married today, but she still doesn't do church. But I want to encourage you, because I don't believe that we are being open enough with the Holy Spirit. I think that we say we do this and we say we do that, but we don't give him the reins to get on with it. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes that worries me. And the story I want to bring you from the Bible today, I was going to do a Bible reading, but you're so informed, it's great, and you'll know the Bible story anyway. About four chaps, well, actually it's about five chaps. And these five chaps, we never, ever know their names. We don't know who they were. We don't know what they were. All we know is five guys mentioned in the Bible. Four of them were carrying one of them on a stretcher. And they wanted to come to Jesus because they wanted to see their mate healed. They wanted to see him saved. And they couldn't get to Jesus because, hey, there's just so many people listening to Jesus. I wonder why. So what they did, they got up on the roof. And they knocked a hole in the roof. Can you imagine sitting in your house and somebody starts banging a hole through the ceiling? Will you pray for this guy? Vroom. What? They knocked a hole in the ceiling. They lowered him down to where Jesus was. I thought, that's wonderful. What did Jesus do? He said, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful words to hear? Isn't it good when you're on your knees and you think, your sins are forgiven? That's big. It's really big. In one of my readings this morning, my devotional readings, I've been up a long time. I've read about the narrow way and the wide way. And what you said this morning about the cross and everything. And I said to Jesus, I said, how wide is the narrow gate? How wide is it? And he showed me that it's from there to there. It's the cross. That's how wide the entrance was. He said, I'll tell you something else too. He said, you've always lived for you. That's the I. I've come to cross that out. You're now in me. Isn't that awesome? So this guy gets lowered down in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, go. Get up. Walk. Take your bed with you. Go home. Which I thought was a bit sad, really, because this guy gets completely healed and he don't get to hear whatever Jesus is talking about and teaching. He gets sent home. Not a hint. I only thought this one this morning. It's quite funny. We never heard what happened to the four men on the roof. We never heard who had to pay for the bill and repair the roof. We just don't know. But that brings me on to compassion. Belongs to you, me. I love sponsoring my little girl, Irene. I love it. Why do I love it? Because I can write to her and she can write to me. And when you get a 7-year-old child writing you a letter saying, I'm praying for you, oh, it melts your heart. It melts your heart because you know they're praying. And I know when I stand up here and speak on behalf of compassion that there are people praying for me. I'm not here alone. It's great. Love it. So I look at compassion. The guy on the stretcher is our child, our children, compassion's children. We're the four guys who are carrying the stretcher. And the stretcher is actually the vehicle to help the child. So the stretcher is the compassion itself and how to do it. Do you know we asked for £32, just gone up, £32 a month to sponsor a child. And I worked that out to be £1.50 a day. And do you know, you look at a packet of crisps nowadays, and that's probably near a pound, isn't it? Depending if you like quality like me. You know, what can I say? But it's about a pound. And yet, why do we do it? We do it because children, she's beautiful. I mean, her eyes get me every time. The children are born into poverty. We're starting to sort of understand being tight with money, how things are going in this country, but it's nothing like where they can't get an education because they haven't got the money to get the education. And so my plea is for us to think about these little ones. Because I want to see them in heaven. I want to see them as part of my eternal journey. That little one there, I want to see in heaven. Because that's what Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me. And that's what we need to do. And so, although times are hard, compassion has allowed me this morning to drive over the beautiful hills through all the creation of God to be able to come and share a few words with you. And you know, from small seeds grow mighty, mighty trees. And I believe that for this fellowship. And I'll tell you why I believe it. Because when you've got a body of people, I don't care if it's 2, 3, 4, 5, who are acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit, you will grow. You will grow. I wasn't going to share this, perhaps I will. When I sat here already this morning, I just felt that it'd be really, really good if this fellowship could have a weekend of 24-hour prayer. Now, that sounds scary, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. I remember doing 24/7 prayer for Open Doors, and it's one of the most blessed things we ever did. You think, can I take an hour and pray? Yeah, you can actually, because at the end of that hour, once you get into it, you want another hour. And you want another hour because you're in his presence, acknowledging him. And that's awesome. So I'm going to say to you this morning, although we may not be able to change the world for every single child, we can certainly pick up another, pick up their hurt, look after them. I'm just going to show you what you've done already. See, I've been gassing off piste. This is what you've done. This is all about your church. Let's go. That's slide number one. Let's go on to the next one, please. Your support really does make a difference, a life-changing difference. That's what you've got to remember. These kids have got no chance of education until we come in and support them. And when we support them, you see that they get 628 hours for children's their projects. And you are doing this church. 129 meals 3 medical checkups. Bible's given out. Because we always go to a Christian place where there's always a Christian input to our children. And we move on. So in the last 12 months, between you, you've sent 4 letters and you've had 9 letters back. I love those letters. I cherish those letters. They go in my Irene folder. I sent Irene a little extra gift because it's her birthday or Christmas, can't remember. And I had a photo back, and she was with all her school books and everything she'd used this money to buy. And it's just such a blessing to see a child have that opportunity, to see a child getting blessed by God through a few what I call pennies. And we move on. You have 3 children, 2 girls and a boy, which I've heard a little bit about this morning already, which is great. And what a fabulous time to get them, because now you'll watch them grow up into adults. I watched a film not long ago, the other day, and it's about a child who was sponsored by Compassion, and he'd come through all his life, and he now is a teacher, others are doctors, all because of £32 a month. Moving on. This is where, that's your children. Isn't it nice seeing them? Are you proud? It's like being a father, isn't it? It's like being, yeah, I love it. I'm moving on. The Philippines, El Salvador and Kenya. I have 3 children in the Philippines. But they're my own grandchildren. Filipinos. My son, who lives in the Philippines now, he's 6'7". Guess where his Filipino wife comes to? I'm moving on. This is most of the story, isn't it? People are out there working the land. Do you know, when we go to heaven, I've got a fear. I've got to be saying, I've got a fear. There's going to be a garden up there. And I'm going to end up being a gardener again. And I've done 30 years down here, Lord, weeding. I'm thinking, do I want another? I don't know. Look at what they live in. Mud, earth, clay, that sort of stuff with corrugated tin roof. Can you imagine living in that? Do you want to hear a really massive, massive, massive testimony? It's only if you say yes, I'll do it. I don't want to sound arrogant. That I've really got to stress that. In the middle of COVID, I was due to retire. For 30 plus years in Broadway, I've always lived in tied cottages. They've been tied to my job, lived on the job. Fabulous. I mean, in Broadway, for the last 25 years, I had a 5-bedroom cottage on the main high street as part of my job. Sorted. But now, we're going to retire. Where are we going to live? And the young man from the church came to me. John, he said, I'm really frightened for you. I said, why are you frightened for me? He said, because I'm really frightened you're going to be homeless. After all you've done, he said, you're going to be homeless. I said, I don't think I will be. I said, because I think God's going to provide something. I said, I haven't got a clue what. But because of my job, see, I certainly had no savings. No private pension to speak of, because in those areas you just didn't get it then. 3 weeks later, from talking to that young man, sat at my kitchen table with my wife and another said, John, I want to buy you a house. I said, what? She said, I want to buy you a house. She said, I don't want to embarrass you, she said, but I want to buy you a house. I said, when I get off the floor, I said, we'll talk. I said, what do you mean you want to buy me a house? She said, I want you to live where you want to live and not where the council want to put you. And to cut an amazing story short, we are now living in a house valued at over £300,000. As a complete gift in our name. No strings attached, No comebacks, nothing. A gift. £32 will give them that same freedom. Isn't that awesome? We'll move on. Please thank God all your way home about that miracle. That's one of the stories I was telling you about where you have somebody come through the whole system. I've got a young man at the back today who needs a sponsor. He's 16, which is quite unusual. And I hope he doesn't get left out. I hope he doesn't feel rejected because he sees all the little ones being picked up and he's sort of left there. It's worth looking at. I'm moving on. So I'll be here all day else. Thank you. A real big thank you. And that's something I've picked up from your church this morning. I just don't care how many's here. What I sense this morning is your gratitude. You thank each other for praying. You care about each other. And do you know, I haven't seen that for a while. I know that sounds really harsh, but, you know, I speak in some churches and you think, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? And I don't mean that judgmentally. It's just tragic that people, when they push aside the Holy Spirit, they miss out on so much. So much. What a faith. Praying. Thanking Jesus. I'll be at the back for any questions. I go on all day else, and that clock's already telling me my time's up. So I was told the time to finish. Do you know, I'll just say, when I first arrived here this morning, I sat in the pub. This big family came over. I thought, hey, praise the Lord, this is going to be all right. And they all went in the pub. Well, it's a bit early to go in a pub, isn't it? It's a bit early. And then I heard, don't embarrass you, I heard this angel singing. I was outside. I heard this angel singing. I thought, I want a bit of that. Then I saw Graham walk past the window and thought, oh, somebody is in there after all. Wasn't first here. And as I came in, Graham mistakenly said to me, welcome, that was nice. There's nobody else here yet. I thought, praise God, that is an angel. What can I say? I've been listening to this lady all morning. Tasmin, yeah? I've been listening to you all morning. And I've been so blessed by your singing. I'm going to go home a different person, I'm telling you. I've been so blessed this morning. Do you know at our church, we have every gizmo gadget you ever did want, honestly. We have the big worship team up there. We have, and it's good, don't get me wrong. But unless you've got that heart, it's entertainment. It's entertainment. I don't want this to be entertaining. I want this to be real. Because when I talk about the kids, it's real lives. These are people who are alive and breathing. They aren't just a number. They aren't just in a catalogue. They are living souls that Jesus told us to look after. And we need to pick them up on that stretcher. And we need to give them that opportunity. We've got to put them before Jesus. So Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that awesome? Awesome. I did promise Graham I wouldn't try and break my record this morning. I went to a church in Gloucester. And I said, how long do you want me to preach for? And they said, well, if you start off with 3 hours, we'll see how it goes from there. They had me on my feet for 4 hours. I'm not joking. It's awesome. But there we go. So thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me back in again. It's a long time, but when I was offered this, I thought, oh, yay. There is another thing that I didn't think I was actually going to get here today, because about 2 weeks ago or something, a bit like yourself, had a bit of a thing, you know, as I do. And I really screwed up my knee, and I actually couldn't stand or walk for a little bit. That was all right. Doctor did what they do, you know, on the phone, chuck a few pills at it. So I took these few pills, and the side effects were horrendous. I mean, I was not good Thursday. It's seriously rough. and I'd stopped taking the tablets. And it got me here this morning. So praise God for that, you know. I'm due at the hospital on Thursday. Now, with me in hospital, we have a bit of a tendency not to get on. And I'm going on Thursday, not to see what they're going to say about my knee. I'm going there specifically to know, okay, Lord, I'm here. Who do you want me to talk to this time? Because last time I was in hospital, on the very day I was on the operating table, I was supposed to be on the plane flying to Mallorca on my holiday. But oh no, they said, Mr. Barton, you have a gallbladder problem. You have a stone sat on top of that tube and it's not going to go anywhere. It's too big. We can see it on the scan. We can see it on the MRI scan. We can see it on the CAT scan. I've got to get in there and get it out. I said, well, get on with it then. But I couldn't because I had another issue. But anyway, long story short, again, I really want to worship God this morning. Came off the operating table. He told me, when you're being operated on, you'll feel the tube going down, you'll feel the suction, and we're just going to lift that one stone out, and then you'll have to come back and have your gallbladder out. I'd had no pain whatsoever. This was picked up on a routine blood check. After surgery, whatever that was, because I don't ever remember any bit of it, I was led in my bed in recovery. Surgeon walks in. It's unusual. Surgeon, come and see me in recovery. He said, I've got a problem. I said, what's your problem? He said, we can all see that stone on this x-ray and everything else you've had done. He said, when I came in to take it out, he said, it's gone. He said, it's completely disappeared. I said, sorry. He said, what are you sorry about? I said, people just will not stop praying for me. I said, I'm sorry to have wasted your time. When I was in bed, awaiting this procedure, thinking, my holiday's really screwed, I was talking to a lady. She said, what are you writing, John? So I'm writing a book. What are you writing a book? I said, compromising the church. Oh, she said. I said, how Christians have compromised the word of God, and if they don't get back there soon, there's going to be big problems. Oh. And that was basically it, but I knew it was that woman I had to speak to. I haven't got a clue what her history is, but when she went, I thought, wow. And you just knew that was the moment that God wanted for that time. So, hey, fair enough, I didn't get to Mallorca. Not a problem, got money back. But there you go. I'll leave it with that. I didn't mean to take over this morning with me and myself. It's the children I'm here for. And it's really important we don't forget them. But God has done all those miracles for me. He will do them for you. And he will do them for the children. We just need to support them, get behind them, and see them grow. Because I love seeing the children grow. I love to see that opportunity. I mean, when I used to work for Open Doors, the same. So often we talk about the persecuted church. As though they're something different to us. They're not. They're our brothers and their sisters and they're suffering. And God has made us sons of God, that we care for them as sons of God. Because if one part of us suffers, then we all suffer. If these kids suffer, we suffer. So we've got to get out there and help these little ones who in turn help their families. And their whole lives are changed around. And that's all because of one person. Centered on Jesus. Centered on Jesus. Thank you for being so good listening. I must go. Okay, later. Sorry. Who wants the mic?
Thank you. As you know, God answers prayer, doesn't he? So we're in no doubt. We know that we know. And very often I think sometimes because of we're just people, we can easily give up before the answer comes. But when we pray, God is answering. He has answered, in fact, already. We just got to hang in there and keep thanking God. Keep praising God. Keep saying, Lord, you've done it. You've done it. And doesn't matter how long it takes, it will come. It absolutely will come. So, I'm going to have a little advert for early morning prayer. Come at 8 o'clock, Zoom, if you can make it, when we just pray for whatever God puts on our hearts to pray. Mostly, you know, it's about us here and a few other things if God leads us that way. But it's a great time. And we have seen God answer multitude of prayers since we've started doing this. So just to encourage you. I'll maybe post the number again, the Zoom number, just as a reminder. Okay.